Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is April 13th and it is 1:39 in the afternoon. Welcome Senator Meyer.
Thank you.
Welcome Senator Gardner.
Thank you.
Good afternoon Senator Stevens.
Good afternoon.
Senator Hughes is in another committee at the moment. So today we are again on House Bill 141, which reauthorizes the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. It's the that's the short title, but it's really the TVET program. We also have had this bill before us, both the Senate version and the House version. So today what we'll be doing is first we will hear from Deputy Commissioner on the letter that was presented to the committee between this morning's meeting and today, and I appreciate the quick turnaround on that. Public testimony is still open, and we have two individuals online that wish to testify and several who are there in case there are questions, and then we will close public testimony, and the intent is to move the bill this afternoon. So with that, welcome Mr. Cashin, and please feel free to share the letter that you presented to the committee, and if there's any questions, we'll make sure that members have a chance to ask those.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Costello and members of the committee. For the record, Greg Cashin, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And the department did provide a letter of response to questions posed this morning regarding the Technical Vocational Education Program. And I just, if I could, I'd just like to paraphrase the letter. The first item was it's important to clarify that both Illisavik College and Amundsen Education Center are public, not-for-profit training institutions. And we would also like to clarify that Alaskans served with TVET funds that go through the University of Alaska to the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center are included in the University of Alaska's performance data that they submitted both to the department and to the in the TVET report. And second, it's important to know what technical and vocational education really means. Vocational education is simply another term for career-focused education and includes business and office technology. Many small businesses rely heavily on capable office managers to stay afloat. And one example would be a medical office assistant. It's a high-demand occupation in Alaska in the healthcare industry, and that falls within this category. Third, administrative or overhead cost usage by many of the small regional training centers is necessary to provide local access to programs and job training opportunities by partnering with other training centers to host programs, and without the use of TVET funds to cover the operational costs of these centers, access to programs would be extremely limited. And limiting these costs to just 2% is would be very difficult in most cases. And then fourth, there was reference to a penalty clause in statute that was recently added and effective with fiscal year 2016. And this penalty is only applied if an entity does not have an articulation agreement or if they do not provide their participant data to the department. So all the TVET recipients reported their participant data to the department and had at least one articulation agreement, so there was no need for the department to apply the penalty to any of the TVET recipients. The problem with the report is that we do not have a crosswalk between the training provided and all the occupations employed and to define whether or not the participants are employed in a job that is somewhat related or related or somewhat related to the area of their training. So, and then finally, the department is committed to working with the Alaska Workforce Investment Board to develop suggestions for performance measures and improvements that would be a better fit for the technical vocational education program. I'd be happy to answer any questions, any additional questions that you or the committee may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cash. And again, I appreciate you being so responsive to the questions, concerns brought up by the committee. Are there questions of committee members?
Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Ms. Cashin. And I just want to go back to the issue of related to
issue brought related to the training they went through. I'm not sure that's really a major concern. I mean, I guess I'd like mm-hmm. to hear more about it, because I think any education you get will help you in a future job. Is it really that crucial that if a person takes one administrative type training that they be in that administrative job, or maybe they want to be a welder? I mean, any reflection on that thought?
I don't, through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't believe so. I think we've stated many of the students who attend these training institutions move on to either employment or additional training. I believe the testimony from AFTEC noted that there's students from some of the regional training centers, Ute, SAVEC, that you know, receive their initial training at a regional training center and then go on to further post-secondary education. So I guess I'm not sure if it's an accurate indicator of the value.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, it's important, but the important thing is people get a job, and
that's right.
Whatever field it might be in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens, Dennis Dishan from Ute is online if you wanted your question about just that topic answered. Otherwise, we can just move to those who are here for public testimony.
No, I can wait.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Cashin, for clarifying some of the questions we had this morning. The second paragraph where you mentioned that Slavic and Edmondson are not are public not-for-profit training institutions. Aren't they all that status?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the University of Alaska and AVTEC are public institutions, I believe all of the other training institutions are not-for-profit. Trying to think of or public, excuse me. A Galena would be a public institution.
Well, through the chair, even the university is a public, not-for-profit training institution. That's why I was wondering why you those two in particular you clarified as public, not-for-profit. In that.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I believe that was one of the issues that was pointed out in the public testimony this morning with these two specific training centers, so we wanted to clarify that they were not for profit.
Okay. Great. And then, Madam Chair, one more question.
Senator Meyer?
Yeah. So I think somewhere along the line, I'm not sure where, it came up that some of these grants are used for capital, whereas I think the intent is that they'd be used for operational expense, and I don't see that was addressed in your letter here.
Do you want to take a stab at
that? Yeah.
For the record, Paloma Harbor, Administrative Services Division Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I think through the chair, Senator Meyer, the clarification would be on what you consider capital or operational expenses, so they could buy equipment for a training program potentially using the funds, or they could repair a roof. I don't know that they have. We get a report from them on what training programs they provide. There's no restriction, though, in the statute. I think that's what was raised during this morning's hearing. And it is support operational, I mean, just keeping the center open. So if they need to repair the roof to keep training, I guess that would be an important thing, or a boiler replacement, yeah. So.
Sure. And Madam Chair, I appreciate that. And certainly maybe, you know, buying a backhoe or something, depending on if it's like at the pipeline training center, they may need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure we want them to, you know, buy another building or even mm-hmm. fix a roof necessarily. So, but anyway, thank you for that explanation.
Any further questions? Senator Stevens?
I think you answered this, but maybe I'll ask for it once more. It seems a little odd that we would provide funds to the university provides funds to another agency. Why aren't we working directly with that agency? I mean, why are we going through? But you did say that the pipeline program does report through the university. Help me understand why we're not working directly with the pipeline group.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, this was a while back, and it's actually before I was really with the department, I think, but I worked actually at the university when this came up. They had gone in to the legislature with an operating request to add process technology to their offerings, and they had a cost associated with that. And at the same time, the Pipeline Training Center had just opened up. And so it was really at the will of the legislature that they partner with the Pipeline Training Center through their Career and Technical College at NU in Fairbanks, rather than develop their brand new or their own separate program.
Thank you. I think I understand that. But the reporting from the Pipeline Training Center, we are then aware of what they're accomplishing and how successful they are, because that's reported through the university and eventually gets to us. Is that right?
That's correct.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate your responsiveness.
Thank you, Senator.
So we will continue then with public testimony, and first in line is Cheryl Edenshaw with the Alaska Technical Vocation, I think ABTEC, because I think we have it truncated here. But calling in, please provide your testimony, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Chair Costello and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Edenshaw. I'm the director of the Alaska Technical Center Post-Secondary Training Center here in Kotzebue. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of reauthorizing the TVAP program. We are recognized by the state of Alaska as a statewide post-secondary training center eligible for TVAP funding since 2000. First of all, thank you and the state for your support of workforce development and the investment made to the Alaska Technical Center over the years. We are passionate about our partnership with the state of Alaska to provide an Alaskan workforce. Our commitment to the state of Alaska continues to provide a good return on your investment. We have key partnerships with business and industry to train safe and responsible Alaska workers and help develop and sustain our economy. Without a stable funding source of TVAP funds, we would not be in a position to maintain our long-term commitment to meet employers' needs in the local and statewide economy. I would also like to clarify that ATC does not allocate TVAP funds for administration, nor do we use TVAP funds for high school students. With TVAP, we are able to provide training necessary for jobs in healthcare, resource development process technology, culinary arts, and construction trades. Our training opportunities for Alaskans are aligned with job opportunities, not just in our region, but throughout our state. I believe we are the only training center that offers a guarantee to employers that hire our graduates. After completing our training programs and earning certificates, if graduates lack a skill that was part of the curriculum, we have communicated with employers to send them back to us. We'll reteach that missing skill at no cost to the employer. We would also not be poised to respond to Alaska's employers' market-driven training needs. TVAP allows us to plan and be flexible in order to align business and industry needs with jobs for Alaskans. I'm respectfully asking for your support to reauthorize TVAP for a five-year term. With your support, we can build a future for Alaskans, strengthening families and communities across our state. And with that, I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I appreciate you calling in. Are there questions? Okay, seeing none.
Maybe just a question.
Oh, Senator Stevens has a question.
Maybe you could respond to the earlier question. I probably said it totally inarticulately, but we were talking about when someone goes through a training program and then we recognize success if they get a job in the field they've been trained in. Do you have any reflection on that? Because it seems to me, you know, if somebody goes through, I don't know, like a culinary program, they learn something about showing up to work on time and doing a good job. Do you think it's crucial that we only are concerned about someone getting a job in the field in which they've had training, or does it all affect the student, any training?
Our first priority would be to give those students that are enrolled and complete their training in that field that we train them for to get a job in that area. That's where we closely align ourselves with employers who would take them on. But part of that whole training includes exactly what you're talking about, you know, what employers expect, those work attitudes, work values, the skills, the competencies, the work ethic. That's part of their training here as well at the Technical Center.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next we have Fred Villa from the University of Alaska calling in from Fairbanks. And I wanted to mention to members that in the TVEP report that we have, the university would be on page 28. So with that, welcome, Fred, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Chair Costello and the Labor and Commerce Committee. I called to just answer any questions and share just a little bit of information, questions about the Pipeline Training Center as being a pass-through through the university, which, as Paloma Harbor said, became part of a fiscal note in 2008. And so we've honored that commitment to the legislature. It hasn't been varied, although the allocations have changed over time. I do have specific data from the Pipeline Training Center on the production of students and programs that they have. And I just wanted to reiterate one piece of information on the university's program, and it's how we go about funding programs. We, again, we look at high-demand occupations across the state identified by the Workforce Investment Board, look at regional economic development opportunities, and then in the third area that we look at is what are the priorities for the university campuses themselves. And so we actually have a very thorough process where programs within the university are partnering with other institutions or training centers can apply, and when they do that, based on those three criteria, we have a workforce development committee within the university representing all three campuses, and also have the executive director from the Alaska Workforce Investment Board as part of our committee when we talk about and vet the decisions and the recommendations that we would have in funding. Our process, our manual, our schedule for the distributions that we have of our TVEP program are online at alaska.edu/research/WP, which is for workforce programs, /funding. And so that's available to the general public to look at how we manage the funds that come to the university. I'd also just like to point out one thing. With the maximum employee contribution of $64 a year, when you look at the cost per student investment at about $1,000 to $1,200, $1,400 per student, and then look at that against the earnings made after training, I think that it's pretty compelling that this is a very good investment of resources acquired from the state and returned back to the state in workforce development. And that ends my public testimony.
Thank you, Fred. Are there any questions? Okay, seeing none. Again, I appreciate you calling in to a number of the hearings that we've had. Next, Kathy Leary with Illisabbit College calling in from Anchorage. And for members following along in the TVEP report, Illisabbit College information is on page 16.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Kathy Leary with Illisabbit College. For the record, just briefly, the department already clarified it, but President Bauer could not call in right now. We wanted to clarify the fact that we are indeed a public nonprofit institution. I believe the point was trying to be made by the testifier earlier this morning that it was state and non-state, I guess, institutions rather than private. So we just wanted to clear that up. Echo Ms. Inshaw's ask for the 5 years because it does help us to plan and develop programs that help get people through various career pathways and it allows us to align those programs more efficiently, knowing that we'll have those funds available. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Anna Shia Levy from the Southwest Vocational Center, and that is found on page 23 for those following along in the handout that we have.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Anisha Elby and Annette Caruso at Southwest Alaska Vocational Education Center, located in King Salmon, Alaska. I testified yesterday when the bill was called House Senate Bill 85. I just want to reiterate our support for House Bill 141, a reauthorization for 5 years to help with planning. And I believe I've heard SAVIC's name mentioned earlier, as we are a public nonprofit organization. That's it for my testimony.
Thank you very much for making yourself available to testify. Next, we have Carmen Spence and also Kevin Spence, both calling in from the Amundsen Education Center, and that program is on page 12 in the program report.
Good afternoon, Senators. Thank you for your time. My name is Kevin Spence. I am the board chair of Amundsen Education Center, and I, again, calling to support the reauthorization of the TVAP program. Just some clarifications on that our program, like the department, testified earlier with Deputy Commissioner Cashin, we are reaching out to many different organizations. We do teacher recertification, teacher initial certification training, which doesn't always show up on the different guidelines. We also have, as Senator Stevens asked, we also do a lot of work on the soft skills, and we do think that's important for employers to tell us that repeatedly. The biggest problem they have with students, like my own teenager, is getting them out of bed in the morning and getting them to class or to work, as the case may be. And so we do work on that and supporting those for kids who don't necessarily want to be in the classroom but need to learn that habit to be in the workforce. We've also started the only Microsoft Imagine Academy in the area, and we estimate that business employees can earn as much as $16,000 more than their uncertified peers, and we're seeing the effects of that in our business, as many of our recent students have had received hot job offers, and we're very grateful for that. And also that many of our students, when they leave here, they do go on to additional training, which does tend to skew our numbers down a little bit further. Thank you for your time, and I'm open for questions.
Are there any questions from Mr. Spence? Okay, seeing none, thank you for calling into the committee. And finally, Doug Walrath, are you interested in testifying? I think you had spoken earlier, but I see you're online.
Madam Chair, I merely called in to make myself available to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? He's with the Northeastern Career Center. He's calling in from Nome.
Northwest.
Okay. Okay, is there anybody here in Juneau that wishes to provide public testimony on House Bill 141? And is there anyone else online that wishes to provide public testimony? Okay, seeing none, public testimony is closed for House Bill 141, and I will look to the will of the committee. Senator Stevens? Oh, at ease. Sure. Welcome back to Senate Labor and Commerce. And before us is Senate Bill 141. the reauthorization for the TVET program. And with that, I know we have an amendment. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move a conceptual amendment to HB 141 on page 1, line 6, changing 2022 to 2018.
Okay. I'll object.
And we have an objection. I'll go ahead and speak to the change. I think what we've heard in committee is some concern about the reporting and the quality of reporting, and there's certainly been no concern about the importance of providing training for Alaskans and jobs. I think the concern has just simply been that we follow the state law in terms of what's required right now. And wanted to also mention for the committee members that the bill has another committee of referral, the Senate Finance Committee. So we will be moving, it's my hope that we will be moving this today, and the discussion can continue in that committee. We also have heard from the sponsor that there is several efforts to provide opportunities to review the program and perhaps come back to the legislature with some suggestions as far as tightening up any reporting requirements. And with that, I will be supporting the amendment. Senator Hughes?
Yes, I'd like to speak to it. Also, I am concerned about the lack of consistent reporting and an inability to compare apples to apples, and the wide range of cost per participant. We also heard that some of the dollars, quite a few of the dollars and participants, are going for office type training, and even though that does fit under technical vocational education, that might be something that should be looked at. And also, some participants are using it for safety courses that could be taken online, maybe in a more economical way. So these are good dollars that are hard to come by these days, and we do have a great need to have well-trained workforce. So we want to make sure that those dollars are being spent the best the way they can be, and that they're not being spent on capital, for instance, as we heard. So I do support the amendment. I do support workforce training at the same time, and I think this will allow us to have a better understanding of how these dollars can best be spent. And so I look forward to the department coming back with us about how this can be straightened up. And there's also been some discussion about should the dollars follow the student. There are some training facilities in the state that are receiving them, some of them that aren't. And so that's another question I think that I have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a reasonable thing to do, to change to 1 year, because we've heard some concerns about the common reporting standards, about making sure the data that is received is really meaningful, and comparing from one agency to another, understanding as the proposer of this said, that their costs are different from community to community. We understand that, but it'd be nice to really compare how the agencies are doing. Thank you.
Thank you. And Senator Gardner, you'll be maintaining your objection?
Madam Chair, I'm persuaded by the discussion here. I'll withdraw my objection.
So the amendment passes. With that, I want to thank the sponsor for being here, and your aide for providing great information, and for the department also for your responsiveness, and also for those recipients of the TVET funding who have all been here online, presented for the committee, and also for providing background information and being willing to come multiple times before the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move HB 141 from committee as amended with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes, plural.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? All right. Seeing none, again, thank you to the bill sponsor. And our next meeting will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We are adjourned.